I play rock and roll music for a living, and with that comes the overused tagline, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now, the rock and roll part is a given. It's what brought me to the fold. I love the music and everything about the music. The sex part of it, well, one need only listen to the lyrics of our songs to figure out where I stand on that subject. It's the drug part that can get a little gray. I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs. Full disclosure, though, I have in the past, but that's way in the past. So where do I stand on the issue? From someone who doesn't smoke pot, I am 100% for the legalization of marijuana. And even though I don't smoke weed, I have nothing against those who do. For those on the fence on the topic, I suggest you watch The Union, The Business Behind Getting High, the 2007 documentary film by Brett Harvey and Adam Scorgi for the full backstory on the criminalization of marijuana. The fact that marijuana is still outlawed in 2017 is downright appalling. At least to me it is. During the brief time I smoked weed, it was only to get closer to the music. Smoking weed helped in that department immensely. In fact, I remember being very disappointed after buying the Wu-Tang Clan's debut album back in 1993, 1994, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. I couldn't understand the fuss over their stripped-down beats after being immersed in very dense Bomb Squad and Soul Assassin type productions for 5 years previous. Then I heard 36 Chambers again when someone played it after a joint was passed around, and it was a revelation to me. Listening to Bring the Ruckus and Clan in the Front was like listening to a movie playing in my mind. I heard stuff on that recording that I hadn't before, despite numerous sober listens. It changed how I heard music and turned me into a semi-hip-hop head for a number of years. But I stopped smoking pot when I recognized in myself that I didn't have the disposition to handle it. I know there's people out there who would say that I just didn't get the right strain for me. Well, maybe. But once I got spooked, a permanent switch was flicked, and these days I'm completely okay with watching from the sidelines, but don't think I watch without envy for those who can handle their high. The reason why I'm talking about marijuana, its legalization, and my dalliance with it right off the top here is because of the two guests on this episode. Remo the Urban Grower is a worldwide award-winning cannabis grower from British Columbia. In fact, his growing has garnered 34 awards worldwide. Him and his wife Sandra run their very successful Remo Nutrients company that make world-class nutrients for growing your own plants. 8 products in total: Astroflower, Remo Roots, Magnifical, Remo's Micro, Grow, and Bloom, Nature's Candy, and VeloKelp. He's also an MMAR medical marijuana grower for medical patients. And his Urban Remo YouTube channel has over 168,000 subscribers with over 36 million views. I met him through the second guest today, Damian Abraham of Fucked Up, and no stranger to the podcast. In fact, Damian has the distinction of guesting on here more than anyone else, minus Nick Flanagan, of course. Hell, he's even in the podcast's theme song. Sometimes Damian from Fucked Up hangs out too. And this is one of those times. Damian featured Remo on his Canadian Cannabis Vice show on the Cash Crop episode. And he also had him on his podcast, Oil and Flowers, episode 8, to be exact. For some time now, Damian has been telling me how much of a fan Remo was of our band. And while I thought it was flattering, with Remo out on the West Coast and me being in Toronto, plus not being all too hip on the movers and shakers of the growing cannabis scene, I duly noted it and kept moving. But when Damian called me up this past May with the idea of having Remo and himself guest on my podcast, I couldn't turn it down. Remo was in Toronto to take part in the Lift Cannabis Expo at the Metro Convention Center, an event that focuses on the growing Canadian cannabis economy. And with the possible July 1st, 2018 date for legal cannabis in Canada just around the corner, I feel discussions on marijuana are more necessary now than ever before. These are very exciting times, with marijuana on the verge of complete respectability in the eyes of the law, as well as in the eyes of the general public here in Canada. Cannabis benefits have been kept secret for far too long, while false tales about the plant have been allowed to spread unfettered. All that is changing with people like Remo and Damien, who encourage discussion and help promote its changing image. We all met to do this podcast episode at the Greenhouse Vapor Lounge in Toronto. I had never been to a vapor lounge before. I embarrassingly didn't even know these kinds of vapor lounges existed in Toronto. We all had a nice chat and further proved that marijuana binds people together rather than separates. I want to thank Blue Mic Microphones and Skullcandy Headphones for supporting the podcast. Thanks to Damien for introducing me to Remo. Thanks to the Greenhouse Vapor Lounge for housing us and letting us record there. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Remo the Urban Grower and Damien Abraham are this episode's guests on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. It's better get his Danko's go out to for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Damien from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down. The Danko Jones podcast is simply superb. Splendidly fine. Wonderfully wild. Very divine.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Danko Jones podcast starts. No!
You guys are rolling joints as we are talking and doing the podcast, and we all kind of know that as the podcast is going to go on, things are going to get slower and slower.
Well, smokier.
Maybe not, because we are stoners. So what that means is cannabis for us is like spinach to Popeye. It doesn't bring us down. If anything, it brings us up. And
I'll be slowing down.
You might be slowing down.
Smoking weed is my superpower, right?
Yes,
that's my, the one thing I can do in life. You know, I've been told if you can't be good at it. So I took that advice to heart, and I'm good at smoking weed.
I've smoked many of people's favorite rappers under the table. I've smoked many so-called stoner musicians under the table. I'm in the presence of someone who will smoke me under the table. I'm not talking about you, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
I can fully concede that when Laura Jane and I were hanging out with you, neither one of us were prepared. And that's coming from someone that, as I say, has smoked the fair number of famous people who are famous for smoking weed under the table.
Well, so Damien has been telling me about you for a while, and I know that you've been on his Vice shows and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he was on my Oil and Flowers podcast with Buddha Blaze.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, he's...
That guy's cool.
Very cool, yeah. Very cool.
So I'll ask you, Damien, how did you find...
Thank you so much for that. Awesome.
How did you find Remo? How did you find him?
I guess we first found out when we made the very first Vice documentary. Remo is one of the key people involved in the lawsuit that stopped the then conservative government from pushing through their cannabis reform laws, which brought in a much more punitive, archaic system and tried to push out, you know, what was a pretty good system, just very hard to get into.
Yeah.
And, sorry, I lost my phone.
No.
Shit, it's starting.
Just lit the weed.
Starting to kick.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Remo.
See, I'm a awesome. I'm a cheap date. I'm
osmosis.
I'm a pretty cheap date.
But I was gonna say, no, Remo and Sandra, his amazing partner and wife. We met at that first shoot, and they were keying this lawsuit. And then we kind of watched as, you know, he kind of, well, he was already a very famous cannabis artisan and growing some of the, like, winning many awards for the weed he grows, which is incredible cannabis medicine he grows for himself.
So what's this, like, I've heard about, like, awards and, strains get prizes and stuff. I don't know anything about that whole world.
Oh, yeah.
And now that it's kind of legit in Canada, it's gaining ground. So and gaining prestige and respectability and
when legal cannabis comes in, it's going to be the biggest thing where any of us are going to see in our lifetime. I think as far as an emerging economy, and that's because it can be used for so much stuff. And this isn't just me talking as someone who enjoys smoking weed. This is talking about someone who got off anti-anxiety medication that was on for like 10 years. Through this, like, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen when legal cannabis hits. So we're watching this market emerge worldwide. That's going to be, as I say, probably the biggest thing that any of us are going to see in our lifetime as far as emerging economies go.
I've said this maybe to you. I've said this to other people. I want to get in on this.
Yes.
Investment wise, because I believe that you're right.
Well, a lot of the LPs are public companies. For example, Supreme, who's one of our customers, they purchased by Nutrients. They're a publicly traded company, and you can get involved by buying shares, and you can be part of the cannabis economy, too.
Yeah. It's like there's legal ways to get involved, too. It's like right now it's happening. You know, like, that's a legal way to get involved. There's also, like, you know, ways that are still gray market to get involved. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, I think the Liberal government, who is in power right now in Canada, they're legalizing, which is good. They're not legalizing, I think, the way I would want to see it legalized, but there's a fight.
You know what? I think a lot of people have the image of legalization being completely a free market where you can just grow and do whatever you want. And what the Liberals see as legalization is a lot of regulation. So hopefully we can find some sort of happy medium where everybody's happy. It's going to, you know, I know it's rugged at the beginning, but we're going to be the first G8 country to be legal. This is crazy. Like, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, really.
No, you're right. And I think the thing is, the only way, like, Justin Trudeau's big thing is chasing out the criminal element of cannabis, right? The only way you do that is by making cannabis completely legal.
Right.
And that way, it's not illegal anymore, and anyone who is involved in it illegally is doing other illegal shit. So they're not involved in anything illegal anymore.
So walk me through this. We're sitting here. You guys are smoking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how when it is legal.
At the amazing Greenhouse Vapor Lounge. Thank you for opening up early.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for this.
Well, Danko, quite frankly, I think right now it's legal by default. A lot of the laws, they don't enforce them.
Yeah.
So it's, give her, man.
And a bunch of us, actually, most of us here, I'm pretty much going to say all of us here are medical patients registered with the Canadian government in some capacity, except for yourself, who's not partaking.
No.
So all of us do have legal protection to be doing this. Right now, and you know, but like it is an act of civil disobedience, and it's an act that has been going on for a long time, and it's like it is a politic, you know, and it intersectionalizes with so many other politics too, obviously, and but yeah, this is an act of civil disobedience. What's happening right now? But it's an act that, yeah, as you say, the government, especially where you're from, looks past a lot more.
Oh, no. Actually, in Vancouver, they're actually licensing dispensaries, which is kind of crazy because that's, they're supposed to be illegal businesses. But I think this is good because what it does is legitimizes them. And they should be brought into the thing. I think there should be LPs. I think there should be dispensaries. There should be room for big guys, little guys, everybody in this business. But the way the other companies are looking at it, they just, you know, like the big companies and those publicly traded ones and the LPs, they want to squeeze all the small guys out, and they want to have all the business for themselves, which I think is wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Wrong.
And that's the problem, is like, it's you're not going to do it. You know, like, no one's going to give up this industry. This industry was fought for, you know, and now you're going to take the tech that these people created, the strains that people created, which were all born out of a black market or a gray market, you know, born out of, you know, a criminalized system, and you're going to take that away from them? You know, and it's like you still look at places where they've legalized, there's still arrests of African American and Latino people happening and an exorbitant rate compared to the rest of white people. So it's still like kind of a racist system even when it's legalized. So you got to find a way to legalize it so everyone's protected.
Fuck. I think.
That's what I'm saying. It's like spinach for us, though. We talk faster.
It's time to spark another doobie.
I can't believe that I'm actually... Well, there's a lot of smoke here. Am I really getting a contact high?
Do you think? Like, there might be a little bit, but there's so little on exhale, right?
You know what? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I really don't think so. Because my wife, like, I smoke in bed. She goes to a lot of her events, and she's a non-smoker.
Yeah.
And we had to both take drug tests to get waivers to go into America.
Yeah.
And when they tested her, zero. So you know what that means? I think Ross Rubigliati.
Yeah,
he was lying, man. I think he did. Like I've spoken to that guy.
Yeah, so have I now.
Stoner, yeah, but you know he can keep his gold medal. I think he deserves it.
Well, the UFC has it registered as a performance enhancing drug.
What?
Yeah, UFC. That's what the thing is. It's UFC. It's illegal, not because it's like cocaine or because it's like an opiate, which they say. You know, it's opiate might be a performance enhancing drug, but they say cannabis is a painkiller. Cannabis is an anti-inflammatory. It causes better recovery time. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they have it banned. And that's why the Diaz brothers keep getting fined. And that's why everyone keeps getting fined. And decisions overturned on the basis of using what they consider a performance-enhancing drug. So
it enhances my performance.
Me too. So I can't argue.
Does it enhance your performance when you medicate before you go and perform?
If I could medicate in every situation I'm in, it would enhance my performance. But, there's certain situations where I can't medicate. And I'll tell you, it's one thing... It's way harder to go off the pills that I was on before for my anti-anxiety than it is to go off cannabis when I have to cycle off. You know, it still sucks going off cannabis to cycle off, but I have to do it all the time now for work. And, before when I was cycling off the pills because, you know, I didn't want to have sex when I was on the pills or I couldn't write lyrics for my band when I was on the pills, so I would cycle on and off it. It was fucking hard.
The come down was...
Hard to come off those things. Sorry for the swearing.
No, you can swear on that.
Okay.
Stoner stories. Is there any Danko Jones stoner stories about you going on stage after you've medicated and went, "Oh, this is awesome"? And,
I've never
not cool.
You know? No, I've never gone on stage drunk or stoned or anything.
Really?
Never. Because,
you know what? When you come out on stage, like I've seen you a couple times, you're larger than life, man. Like you're huge, and like your show is like no bullshit rock and roll show. There's no fancy explosions. There's no smoke. There's no mirrors. You got no screens. It's just. You know, a couple of rows of lights and rock and roll and the real thing. And I think actually your persona on stage is just, it's larger than life, man. Like, seriously.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
You're a storyteller, too. Like, when The Mountain, that song, I love it.
That's what I'm saying is, like, I can usually volley back with whatever conversation we're having, and I'm hitting walls here. And it's not because I'm not interested in, you know, in pot and discussions about legalization of marijuana. And I'm totally pro-legalization, by the way.
Yeah.
I have nothing against it.
I've forced you to be smoking around me enough times on that Soundwave tour.
Yeah. And I honestly, I don't mind it.
Because I totally thought that Sugar High, you know, that song that you wrote, I thought that was a weed song because it says, don't bogart the candy, there's enough to go around.
Well, right? Well, you know, bogarting is like, that's just like left over from when... I was smoking pot, you know, like these
so
are terms that
song? Confirmed.
It's actually a play on an old rock song where they talk about it's a play off a Jeff Beck record.
Cool.
Ola, not Ola, but the one with the orange on it. And Ola's got the apple. The one with the orange on it that's now, funnily enough, escaping me. But but they mentioned lots of sugar stuff, and I was listening to that record around the time that we wrote that song, so I just wanted to kind of pay tribute to that album. Cool.
I took it as a weed reference.
You could take it like that. Cool. I wouldn't mind it. But I've never gone on stage stoned or drunk or anything like that, but...
Do you want to try it once?
Afterwards, maybe.
Yeah, afterwards. I've never.
There's been times over the years, or I remember the first time we went to Amsterdam, and everybody wanted to figure out what the big deal was.
And you went to Amsterdam when it was still good to go, right?
Yeah, it was in 01. And we spent a day in Amsterdam in Vondelpark, and I was pretty much stoned out of my mind.
Nice, nice.
Yeah,
stoner story.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, and then there was one time I needed to de-stress, so I had something in my eye that I couldn't see out of my left eye due to stress. It's called central serous retinopathy, and so my doctor told me to, you know, maybe get a massage, maybe, you know, just de-stress, do this, do that. I go, okay, yeah, sure. But maybe I should also see what all this pot smoking. Maybe that's, you know, what's good. So I got a small little, what do you call these things that you smoke?
A pipe?
Yeah, like for hash.
Yeah, okay.
I got some hash.
Love hash.
I started smoking. I put on this thing that I just bought, which was this Kiss concert.
Yeah.
And it was the Kissology thing, and there's like their big return concert. And then my friend's in the front row, and I'm totally high, and I couldn't believe he was in the front row, and that's what freaked me out. And I thought, when I came off it, I was like, "Did you know you're in the Kiss video, the Kiss anthology video?" And he goes, "Yeah, man, that's me. Why didn't you tell me that before I smoked?" So there's little things like that. But
cool.
Recently, I smoked a joint.
Right.
I'd say 2 years ago was the last time I did it.
That's recently.
Yeah. And
recently for me it was like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, someone said, hey, you know, try this joint. Wasn't Damien. Again, just to try to de-stress. And then my mom called me.
Oh, yeah?
While I was high. And it fucked up my high.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, my mom would, yeah, because she'd be asking me for weed. That's why I would fuck up my high.
Actually, I converted my mom. She was anti-weed as I grew up. And going into the industry that I'm in, I'm a bit of an activist and a cannabis cultivator. She heard all her stuff. And then when she got fibromyalgia, she decided, well, you know, I'm going to try this.
Yep.
And apparently it works for her. It works for arthritis. She doesn't smoke very much, but she enjoys it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because it's kind of like a second life for her. Like this whole new thing was waiting for her because she has stoner friends that come over and smoke weed with her. A doctor from the hospital and another hippie lady, and they smoke their weed and they drink their tea and they hang out and listen to music. It's like my mom didn't do this while I was growing up. This is fucking awesome.
That's why my mom came back to it, fibromyalgia. She got fibromyalgia too. And it's like, you know, and there's a lot of debate amongst the medical community about that disease. You know, I happen to side with it being a real thing. Some doctors say it's a psychological thing. But those same doctors prescribe painkillers for it. And it's like, how can you prescribe if you think it's not a real thing, then just prescribe them weed. It's not a big deal. Like, why would you prescribe them opiate for something you don't believe is a real illness or disease? But that's a separate episode.
Yeah, because then that's talk about how weed is a
There's no addiction with weed. Trust me. Having had to spend 10 painful days with no cannabis in Mexico, I wasn't addicted. I was just bummed.
Well, you couldn't find weed?
Well, I could, but it was just like I felt there's like a guilt that happens when you smoke. I find when I smoke cannabis down there for like, you know, here there's like, I know the people in the chain.
Yeah.
You know, down there I don't necessarily know the people in the chain. The people in the chain might not be so cool sometimes, you know? And it's, sorry.
You should have called me. I got people down there that would have hooked you up.
Next time.
I was in Mexico City. They got some good herb there. I was surprised.
Really?
I went to the first weed expo ever in Mexico. They had it at the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. I walked there and it was like Mexican police. And everybody had their doubts about this show. I was like, oh, Mexico ain't going to go for this shit. And they totally did. Like there was seed vendors there. Everything went off. The cops didn't arrest anybody. It was basically our style show in Mexico. So it's a... It's happening down there, too.
Mexico City is one of the most incredible places I've ever been in my life. And I think...
big city.
And this is without cannabis. I can only imagine with cannabis. So next time. I had, like, some of the most... Yeah, it's a beautiful big city. Like, you know, it's the biggest city I've ever seen. And there's, like, a terrifyingness to it, too. But one of the most incredible times. The best food. You've never played?
Never been. But
really, you guys? Yeah. What have you guys any play? Where's the furthest south you guys have played?
Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah, Sao Paulo.
That's pretty cool. What was that?
That was awesome.
That was good.
We played one time.
Really good. I think we should be returning there. Yeah, you guys. I know you guys have played there.
We opened for Dinosaur Jr. at a Converse free show, where you know, like you could just get tickets, right? And we're like, this would be awesome. You know, it's a big free show. Well, it sold out immediately to Dinosaur Jr. fans. So we get there, and it's just a bunch of bummed out, fucked up fans out front, like, yeah, why'd you guys play here? You know, you should have played somewhere smaller, somewhere we could have seen you, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, yeah. And then you get in the room, and it's just a bunch of fucking bummed out Dinosaur Jr. fans waiting for Dinosaur Jr. to play. Like, literally, kids put their fingers in their ears. as we're really? Playing. Yeah, it was like kind of a bummer. But then I got to style on them when I got to come out at the end and do a cover with Dinosaur Jr. at the end and finish their set. So
see, that's the advantage of being a rock star. I wish I was like one of you guys. Like, seriously. You guys like get really cool stories and shit. Actually, this is a pretty cool story for myself today, but I don't get these all the time like what you guys get, right?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yesterday, when I mentioned that I wanted to come here and do the podcast, obviously Danko, superstar, that's not amongst an argument here, was not. They were not aware of Danko here. The person they were aware of and impressed by is who?
Are you kidding me? All right. Thanks, guys. All right.
That's comedy.
That's no diss, but I think that's like, you know, I think just shows how different worlds.
Oh, yeah.
It means different things, you know?
I mean, I walked in here, like, just when I walked in here before you guys got here, and I couldn't believe there's a place like this that existed in Toronto. I'm just so out of it.
There's several.
Well, this to me is like Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is where our culture thrives. This place is where we go out.
This place is awesome, and it's in my neighborhood, so that's even better. So it, like, worked out amazing, you know?
So, I mean,
how long have you been here now?
Shout out to the Vapor Bar.
A year and a bit?
18 months.
Right on.
And what's the name of the vapor bar?
Greenhouse Vapor Lounge.
And is there a website?
Yes, there is.
What is it?
Instagram. It's Greenhouse Vapor Lounge.
You look so good when you get out of bed. You're always ready to go.
It's just a plan, you know, that needs to end.
It's going to end. Yeah. You can feel it. It's like right now we're unfortunately in a terrible moment of regress, I feel. But I feel I feel like as a society, just not just like cannabis, like I think you can feel it in general. Like, you know, look at the political shifts in this world, and it doesn't feel like a positive time 100% of the time.
But when it comes to pot, I thought the battle was being won.
It is, but then you have like things like, you know, some pretty crazy rhetoric coming out of the federal government in America right now. You know, and as much as we're going towards it, there's places running away from it. And there's still places, you know, it's really bad. You get arrested and you face really bad time, you know? And until that ends, you know, it's scary. But I think it's going to end. You know, there's too much. And unfortunately, it's not going to be a moral victory like it should be. It's going to be a financial victory because there's just too much money on the table.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's interesting me. Yeah. From, you know, being on the outside.
Yeah, well, that's, I think that's going to be of interest to anybody because, you know, we don't live at a great time of economic expansion. So this is one of those few, you know, great.
I think
moments.
It was watching your one of the episodes on your show where I was like, should I get into this? Like, in terms of like investing, this looks like it's going to be, this is going to be the wave of the future in terms of.
Oh, totally. Actually, the pot stocks are down right now. Mm. So it's a good time to buy in. But, you know, come a year from now when there's full legalization, those stocks are going to be soaring because I think all those LPs are eventually going to be the suppliers of legal cannabis. Even though that everybody's allowed to grow four plants when that comes, which I welcome as a nutrient company because I want to give away a lot of nutrients and get a lot of these people growing. I think it's a really good thing. But a lot of people aren't going to want to grow pot. They're going to work their jobs and they just want to go, just like to go to the liquor store, to the pot shop or order it and have it.
Yeah.
It's going to be so available.
It's just going to be like the LCBO. Or like.
I hope not. Yeah. I hope it's not going to be the LCBO. I hope it's going to be something different because I think, I don't want to see sold where alcohol is sold, and that's what they're pushing for it at some places.
But how it gains the respectability, right?
It gains respectability, but I don't think it needs respectability. I think it needs, like.
I don't think alcohol's respectable.
Yeah, and that's true. Alcohol's different.
But, you know, you walk into these places and it's pristine and it's.
Yeah, but it's also, I don't know, like, it's definitely not. What
it doesn't scare away like an old lady who wants to just get
hurt. But alcohol's responsible for more deaths and health problems.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I know.
You know, it ruins families. It's terrible. It's a, you know, if it had to be reclassified today, alcohol would be considered a hard drug, without a doubt.
I agree with that. And I mean, if I was to choose, I would choose pot. It's all just right. I can't handle my high. That's my problem. Well, Bottom line is I can't handle it.
There's different strains for different brains. And you know what? Maybe you just haven't found what was good for you.
I know.
Because maybe you don't
but
like
I gotta go through. I don't know if I can.
Or we gotta find something
that,
just
get
for
that
you
journey.
Danko weed.
I mean, there's been times where
Danko
I've smoked.
Danko weed. That's no, like seriously. The best name for a
Danko
strain.
Kush.
But Danko Kush. How could you not
Can I smoke it, though? I have to be able to smoke it, though.
Well, you maybe, or maybe someone in the band at least has to try smoking it. Or maybe the new on-stage dancer. What's up, Damien Abraham?
Let's bring him out now. He just smoked some Danko Kush.
He's doing the Danko Kush dabs on the stage.
Oh, do you want a dab? I think it's dab.
Oh, my God. Yes, please. Thank you very
much.
Now,
what's this?
This is a kind selection. Which is,
that's motor breath.
Motor breath.
Yeah. That's not a joint, is that?
No, this is dabs.
Oh, that's an extract.
Okay, I don't know.
It's an extract.
This is
like
a new 85% thing.
85% THC. It's called BHO or butane hash oil.
Okay.
And what they do is they take cannabis and they have like what's called a closed loop system, so that it's not escaping the environment.
It smells wonderful.
And they rinse the cannabis with butane, and what this does is strips all the trichomes off, and they collect that, and then they take it and they put it into a purging oven, and they purge all the impurities out of it. Actually, they can get it almost near zero, like between 50 parts per million and zero, like really clean. And you just get the essence of the plant, and you know, without the salad, you get a full hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a Vicodin of weed.
Yeah. Or my wife has compared it to, you know, not that she partakes in as much as I do or anything, but like compared it to the espresso of weed.
Right.
You know?
Can you, is there pill forms?
Oh, yeah.
Just pop a pill?
Yep. Yeah. There's definitely capsules. Like, there's.
You can mix that with coconut oil and then just eat it.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, like I also, I'm not a smoker, right? Just singing wise, I can't,
you
know, sing
that.
So I could just, a pill would, to get to the punchline quicker.
The only thing about pill is it's kind of like, did you do any mushrooms or LSD when you were young?
Yeah.
Okay, when you take it, you have to kind of ride it out if you did too much, right? There's when you smoke or you vaporize, you can just take
control,
it until you go,
more control.
Okay, I've had enough, and you can stop. Like literally, if you felt
joint.
I feel high now. I can put it
halfway. Why? Is it so potent pill-wise?
Oh, yeah.
In pill form?
It's way different and a lot stronger.
Right.
Yeah, medibles will really make a mess of you. I don't eat a lot of them because I get things done.
They don't work on me, though.
They don't?
No.
You've tried?
I've tried up to a 3,500 milligram dosage, which I feel, but it's not like... Someone told me that could be a sign of a bad liver, which would make sense because I took all those anti-anxiety pills for years. But, yeah, no, I've tried, like... really mega dosing, and it doesn't really work for me.
Not processing it right now.
Yeah, just doesn't.
That's
you know.
Insane. Andy can do the same thing. He can eat unlimited amount. Like I've seen him at because we go to a lot of cups together. This is Andy. when we get to the park for the medibles to judge, I give it to Andy, and he'll eat all of them in one day. And it's like two dozen different things.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's not supposed to be humanly possible, but yeah, he's an animal. He can do it.
Yeah.
How much medibles do you eat today?
10 grams of oil.
See.
10 grams of oil.
10 grams of
He's
oil.
He's an animal, man.
That's insane. So
that's
when
a
you say
beast,
you said cups. Is that the cannabis cup? Is that some Stanley cup or something?
There's Karma cup. There's the Prairie cup. There's the High Times cannabis cup. There's the Spanibus cup. There's these things all over the world at all times. It all started though with the Amsterdam cannabis cup years ago, and there was only one cup. And every year, everybody'd go there. It was like a pilgrimage. You know, I went to Amsterdam 8 times to these cups. And actually, I entered once and won one. I got a second place with Bongoo Seeds for Rockstar. It's Canadian-grown weed. And we got it to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And I entered it. And I was floored. Like, seriously, I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, one entry, first time out, you know, entering anything. And we walk away with something. Yeah, that was cool.
How'd you come home? Like, when you were flying back, what'd you say to the customs?
For that thing, it's a seed category. It's a silver medal.
Right.
And it's worn around my neck. Yeah. But I've flown lots of times. Like, I've come to Toronto a bunch of times and won things here. Like, I won a Champs Cup. I've won a whole bunch of those Treating Yourself Cups years ago because that was the first ones in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You just fly on the airplane. I just hold them because they give you a bong and a cup. And I just bring it on the airplane and sit there with it. And they're like,
you bring a bong on the airplane?
Yeah, all the time. Actually, I flew with my meds. This is my screen.
You flew with that bag?
Yeah.
In your carry-on?
150 grams.
Can you do that?
Yeah. He's allowed to.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm allowed to fly with my medicine, too.
And the funny thing
only
is...
Only in Canada.
This time when I went through the screener...
But even within Canada,
there was a child in front of me and her mother. And they got pulled, you know, secondary, and they got their stuff looked through because they had some liquids, right? And my bag just goes straight through. And got this, my camera's in it, a bunch of extract, and, you know, they don't even care. Like, seriously. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't care.
In my bag... A bottle of shampoo in hers, she's getting secondary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So don't bring a bottle of water, you're getting shit.
Just bring a big bag of weed.
Oh, no problem, man, you're good.
You get at a point now where you, yeah, like there's a lot of people that fly with their meds. There's a lot of people in the program now.
Under the old MMAR rules, it was 30 days times your prescription. So if you had 50 grams a day, you could carry 1,500 grams on the plane.
Oh,
now you're only allowed 150 grams.
Yeah, it was 600 before. Actually, I've had it in Vancouver where, you know, I usually bring it on my carry-on, but sometimes, you know, even if it's a vacuum seal, it's got a little bit of an odor. So my wife says, well, just throw it in your luggage and we'll lock it. We'll throw it down below. So I'm sitting there on the plane, and a cop comes on the plane. I don't think anything of it because I don't feel like I'm breaking the law. And he stops right in front of me. I'm like, oh, shit. And he goes, can you come with me? And I'm like, oh, man. Okay, so I get up. And as we're walking up the thing to go off the plane, I'm just saying, hey, before we get started here, I have a license. He goes, okay, just show it to me, and we'll get you on your way right away. And I showed him the license, and he goes, okay, I'm just going to talk to the pilot and come right back. And he goes, okay, I talked to him. You can't have it down below. I guess they're screening all the luggage. This kind of freaked me out. And he said, you have to put it in your carry-on bag, so go get your carry-on bag and bring it here, and we'll stick your weed in it, and you'll be on your way. Meanwhile, the whole plane's looking at me every time I get up, and I come back with this stinky bag of weed and throw it in the thing, and it wasn't that stinky until we flew.
Was the bag exposed, like other passengers could see the weed?
Oh, no, it got worse, because it was they opened it up, so all the seals were compromised, and it was just Ziploc. So when we flew, and when there's a pressure differential, so when we came down, all the seals were open. The whole plane smelled like Kush. Everybody's looking at me. They know it's me because they see the cop, right? Whoa. Yeah, it was comedy.
Wow.
It's complete comedy. I don't know if my wife liked that. I thought it was funny. Some people laughed.
So she doesn't partake?
Not at all.
Wow. Okay.
Big activist, though.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. See, she sees the greater point of it, and so do I. I understand.
Yeah, like and she has definitely had more than enough opportunity to smoke as she wanted to.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting.
She lives in a hot box.
Yeah.
Being so close to it, there's probably been moments where she's like, just pass it over, for God's sake.
No, she's, she used to smoke, and she stopped smoking when she got pregnant with my son.
Okay.
And then that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. And it was, she had to be a responsible parent, and she didn't want to give them any reason to take her son away. And,
of course.
You know, I totally respect her for that, and I admire that. That's because, as you know, the government tries to do crazy things to you, and they take people's, you know, kids away for smoking weed, which I think is completely ridiculous. There's people that drink alcohol, which I think is far worse, and they get to keep their kids. So you smoke a joint and they're going to take your kid. That's
crap. Look at the new legalization. It's like if you right now were to give your kid alcohol, there's no charge. You know, as long as your kid's, I guess, over, you know, I don't think there's even an age specified in the law.
Oh, like, yeah, obviously.
And then if you give an alcohol to another kid, it's a $500 charge.
Mm.
But if you were to give weed to your kid, you know, it's a 15 years in jail, no matter what, you know. And that's if you give to another kid, it's 15 years in jail, like to just like anyone under the age of 18, you know, which is like, you know, make whatever argument you want around that, you know. But at the same time, it's like, look at alcohol. It's way more fucked up.
Yeah.
So that's cruel and unusual punishment, especially if you have a stoner kid. It's like, no, man, I can't give any of this to you because I'm going to go to jail for 13 or 15
years. Yeah.
Sorry, dude. You know, what do you mean, Dad? Can you imagine that argument?
Well, especially now, it's like, I was talking to my wife today, who works or used to work in front lines, or still has friends that work in front line. It's two, like, nanograms of fentanyl to kill you. Like, just, like, the smallest little trace. So, you know, recently I bought cannabis in a gas station. There's no other way to call this than a trap station in Atlanta. Like, in a really rough neighborhood, you know. And I got this stuff, and I smoked it, and it hit me super fucking hard. And I'm thinking, I don't really know what's in this, you know?
Yeah.
And if you think it's just 2 nanograms of fentanyl, I'm not saying people are sprinkling fentanyl on weed. I don't want to be one of those alarmists. But if it just takes that much to kill you, even if there's just some around it. So now it's just like, it's better.
Has it made its way down to Atlanta?
Oh, it's apparently everywhere now.
Everywhere.
I don't know. But, like, that's what I hear. Because you can get you get the startup chemicals imported, and they're not all illegal yet or something. Like, that's a documentary I saw by my employer. So I don't know how up to date that information is, but
like when you get in a stoner session, like we're not even finished your session, you can just roll it forever, like really.
Oh, I know that. I know. That's
I videotape them, and my camera guy's like, dude, you know, like this is like, you know, gigs and gigs of shit. It's gonna take forever to render it. Like, yeah. Hurry up. You know?
Okay, I could go on forever if you want me to.
I can keep rolling joints too.
Well, I know you guys are.
It'd be awesome if we could just smoke one.
I know.
Yeah. Sorry, be like, yeah.
Well, take me out on one of those the trips.
One day,
just to get me going.
You tour to Vancouver. You should come visit me, and I'll take you tour for a tour of my garden. And
next time we're there, I'll hit you up.
Have you tried just CBD weed?
See, I don't know. I've only smoked what.
You know what? I might make it a mission to find out what's good for Danko Jones.
Well, know that I'm a lightweight. I'm a lightweight.
CBD, okay. You should try CBD sometime because it's like the one that's like a lot of people who say they can't handle it.
Yeah,
are finding that works for them because they're much more THC sensitive than CBD sensitive.
Man, I fucking loved it when I would smoke
CBD's
pot.
It's great for anxiety. Mm-hmm.
And I would just listen to music, and it was the best ever.
And, I agree.
Yeah, but now it's like it's different. You know, I had no responsibilities. Now I can't stop thinking about that, and they creep into my thoughts, and then fucks up my high, if it ever happens. Like I said, my mom called me, and then I was just going, I got to drive over there. I gotta be with her. And she was just asking like some question about, I bought this ice cream and should I blah blah blah. And then after she got off the phone, I'm like, I gotta be there with her. It's like, I gotta drive over there. So I don't, you know, those kinds of thoughts get into my head. Yeah, it's gotta be, I just gotta be listening to music and nothing enter my head. That's
you gotta like smoke something that just knocks you out. You know?
Okay, I will say this. We stayed in Amsterdam for 3 months in 08.
Yeah, I remember.
And I would buy pot brownies and I would use it to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I remember I watched Conan the Barbarian one night and it lasted for hours. It was like an 8-hour Conan the Barbarian because I took one of those brownies.
You lost your passage.
Yeah, time just did, and I thought to myself, it was never as long as it is now. How can it be like 3 hours?
Stone.
I was just so awesome. Stoned. And I used to take it just to go to sleep.
Yeah, like I don't know. I find it's improved. Most of the aspects of like my life, like it just calmed down a lot of stuff in my life that I used to not be able to calm down about. But that's why when every drug's different for everyone. You know?
Yeah, like you've calmed down, but whenever I've done it in the last 10, 12 times I've done it, which spans years and years and years, I can't help but, you know, freak myself out about.
I don't know, like you know what I was, you know what a raging psycho I was before. You know, I was like a real unstable person, you know, so I think like, I don't know, I can't ever accept anyone's argument that there's no benefit to it because I look at
this.
Oh my God, that smells ridiculous.
That's aromatherapy right there.
Oh my God.
Oh, Danko, you're gonna smell this.
Yeah, aromatherapy.
It's Gorilla Glue number 4. Doesn't that smell great?
Nice. That's like a really nice strain.
Remember that weed when we were kids and, you know, you get it and have seeds in it and smell like an old sock, right? That does not smell like that.
No. I don't have to think back that long ago to remember that weed, too. So that's why, unfortunately.
Atlanta?
Atlanta was... It smelled really good. That's why I bought more of it. And I still don't know that it was lace, so I shouldn't say that. But, like, I sat in my bathtub in my hotel room that night thinking, I'm not going to take any more chances on the road buying weed from people I don't know. So, you know, at the same time, like, I'd prefer a kid go to their parent now. Luckily, my kids are young that I don't have to make this decision. Hopefully, the laws come around by this point. But I would hope a parent would go to their kid now. A parent would go to their kid and say, hey, if you're going to buy this, come find me and let me help you source it from somewhere safe. Because, like, that weed hit so strong, and it was $5 for a little nickel bag, which doesn't exist anywhere else in the world that I've seen. And it was from a guy in the gas station, and they were selling hard drugs too. It was a crazy experience.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was a crazy.
That sounds crazy.
Crazy experience.
Okay, speaking of craziness, I'm going to do a dab right here.
Okay.
And this dab is
blueberry.
Here we go. And now for the carb. Oh my God. Oh, that's unbelievable.